Welcome back to another episode of Honesty Talk. In this episode, we are going to speak about mahar. Now, we decided to bring the topic of mahar to the table as a result of a post that I wrote on my Facebook page, a year and a couple of months ago. And it proved to be a very interesting and insightful discussion. It was a public post. And so there were, you know, non-friends that kind of chipped in their opinions. And I thought, you know, it'd be good to bring this to the table. We all thought the same. So the topic of mahar, I'm going to bring up the comments because they were really very, very interesting. And I think they're going to contribute towards this episode. So first of all, mahar, what is it? Either of you, as I bring this up, inshallah.
Well, mahar is the dowry, the wedding gift for a woman that's given by a man to the woman. And it is one that a woman gets to decide for herself, mm-hmm. you know. So what that means is it's not down to her family. It's actually down to the woman. It's not down to the man and his family about, like, this is all we're going to give. It's what she can stipulate, her God-given right to stipulate, this is what I want as my dowry. And it is something that the man gives to the woman, because I know in some cultures, it's the other way around. And that's why women are seen as a burden, because, oh my God, you know, we have to pay all of these mahar for all of these girls that we've had. No. You're cashing in for your girls. That's how it's supposed to be. Your girls are being paid the mahar, not you paying the mahar because of your girls. Mm-hmm. And that, I think we have to distinguish, because culturally some people have got that mixed up in the other way around. Mm-hmm. It's the woman receiving from the man.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So looking back at this Facebook post, a couple of things that I touched upon. So these were just my own personal thoughts, but like I said, a lot of people joined in the discussion, was that, in fact, it says here, my lovely Honesty Talk co-host and I met up last week and we were actually speaking about this, right? And we were like, where are the cameras? So this was offset. So we find that there's this narrative that's pushed that the lower the amount of mahar that is requested equates to the level of piety and righteousness of the woman. Mm-hmm. So if she asks for a small amount of mahar, she is masha'Allah. Mm-hmm. If she asks for a large amount of mahar, a significant amount, mm-hmm. then she's a gold digger, she's greedy, and that's going to be problematic for the marriage. So let's start there. I'm going to keep my phone with me. Let's start there, inshallah. Mm-hmm. Sumaya.
Oh, Sumaya. That smile. I think what you're saying about it meaning something about her, what she asks for means something about her, mm-hmm. And using that as a way to kind of shame women into going a particular direction. I mean, you have to take things into account, like the financial status of the man. You have to take things into account, like the woman's background. What social status is she coming from? What is the norm where she comes from? And in her family, for example, how they do things. This is a conversation that needs to be had. The man is coming into that setting. He's coming to propose to these people's daughter. This is something that has to be worked out. And again, I think it's important, the consideration to his position. All of us have sons. And we're thinking about that, like, okay, you know, this is something that has to be figured out practically speaking. But at the same time, should that be at her expense necessarily? Is she, to what extent is she required to accommodate
or is this something that we can plan for and save for?
Mm-hmm.
So I think numbers are relative, depending on where in the world people are, their income, all of these, you know, there's so many variables. But I think, like you said in the very beginning, at the heart of it, it's essentially about what she wants, independent of the meanings and the, you know, I think a related conversation we had in season two was about money. And the value of money. And I think this plays into that. This idea that you're high maintenance or difficult or too demanding or you're too dunya oriented, if you ask for it, I think is dangerous. And I think we need to separate the two.
Yeah, definitely. Also, what was interesting, what came up in this Facebook discussion was that there are certain groups within the community who... Well, they feel, I'm going to say, a lot of reverts feel that due to ignorance on the rights that Allah has given to women on the matter of mahar, that they are sometimes duped into asking for only a little bit, or that because they don't have family backing, the man can somehow say, you know, you only need to ask for... I've heard, and this is no lie, okay, I've heard of revert sisters who have said that their husband-to-be at the time said, oh, you know, mahar, it's just a formality. Mm-hmm. It's just a formality. And so all you have to do, it has to be something. So just ask for 1p. I swear.
Shocking.
Wallah al-Azim.
Yeah.
1p.
What is that?
No, but exactly. Let's dig deep. What is that? So a man knows what mahar is all about. He is marrying a sister, let's say for argument's sake, a new Muslim sister who doesn't possess the knowledge in regards to mahar. And he is saying, yeah, all you have to do is ask for 1p or a pound or a Quran. Mm. Mm. So what's that?
You know that Quran one.
We're going to come to that. So this, what is this though?
Mm.
A man who knows what mahar is all about, and he is now saying to his future wife who does not know, only ask for this.
Point blank is deception. That's it. He's taken her for a ride and robbing her of her right. That's it. And any man who has issue with that, you know, like I've got like if you feel, how do you feel it's okay knowing what you know, taking someone's ignorance on the matter and duping her and robbing her of her, you're robbing her of her right.
And quite simply, to any man that's watching this, and disagreeing, the litmus test is this. How would you feel if a man did that to your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't in the picture.
Right. If you were not in the picture to stick up for her,
mm-hmm.
How would you feel? Now, this is wrong. And it's really, it teaches us as women that we need to seek knowledge on our rights. It's very, very important. Mm. But let's say, again, for argument's sake, that the woman is aware.
Mm-hmm.
She is aware that the mahar is her right, that she can ask for it, and so on and so on. Let's talk about amounts. Let's talk about, you know, is it okay for the mahar to be a penny or a dollar? You know, is it okay? Is it okay for that to be the amount? What are we saying here? And what does that say if a man suggests that, or if a woman asks for such a small amount? And on the flip side, if a woman asks for an extortionate amount,
and that is relative,
and that's relative as well,
mm-hmm.
What are we saying here?
Go for it.
No, I mean, I was thinking about I was thinking about the point that you made about them being duped. And I couldn't help but hear that if this is the beginning of a marriage, and this is the mindset, this is the first thing he's going to dupe her on. This is the first aspect that he's capitalizing on her lack of information based on, and possibly the criteria he's choosing her for in the first place, because she's going to be someone who's easy to run over. So think about what that marriage is going to look like going forward. If I'm going to gyp you about your mahr, then think about what's going to come after that. How many other rights, how many other things that she doesn't know about is he going to, you know?
But it speaks to the character of that man.
It does. And also, like you said, it reiterates the importance of knowledge and understanding, reverts and otherwise. Yes. Some people are raised, you know, in a culture, but not in the religious context. Yes. So knowing what's going on. I think the question you're asking about the 1P, I mean, by definition, like you said, it's a gift and it's something for her to designate. So if in the case that she's the one who decided on 1P,
that's okay.
That is gotta be. Because that's her call.
Is she more righteous for doing so?
No. I was gonna say in my opinion, but then I was like, no. know? No, because asking for what you ask for is your choice, and it is a gift, and you don't need to attach the meaning of piety to that. You know, you can say I renounce material wealth, or I'm not into that, or I'm like this. That has nothing to do with your relationship with God and nothing to do with anything else. It could be independent of anything else, which could just be your beliefs around money.
Okay, so here's another thing that came out of this discussion. Would a man, talking about this is pre-marriage, right? Mahar, the whole discussion of mahar is pre-marriage. If a man were to give a woman an amount that he has to sweat for. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we're not talking about, you know, he needs to be working like 16-hour shifts and, you know, really, really sweating, but he needs to feel the pinch. Does that mean, and this is what came up in the discussion, does that mean that he will have more respect for her?
You know what comes to my mind? Things that I've heard that, like if a man, don't like the language, but I'm going to use it anyway, because that's what I've heard. If a man acquires a woman cheaply, he'll treat her as someone who is cheap and not have that, like any kind of thing, any kind of disagreement, he can easily just toss her out because he got her for cheap, right? But if he had to sweat to get her, if he had to jump through hoops to have her by his side, he's going to see her as a woman of value and as a woman of worth. And again, that language can be a bit problematic. Mm-hmm. It can be really problematic. Women are not commodities to buy.
No.
So this mahar is not a reflection of a woman's worth. It's not a barter. It's not a purchase for her worth. Her worth is set already by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't come in and give her whatever money and say that that's what she's worth. And we need to separate the two, because some women are approaching this from, but I am worth this. No, don't. Your worth, what you are worth is priceless.
Yes.
No man can actually afford for what you are worth, but what do you want for yourself? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the conversation we're having here. Mm-hmm. Not about your worth and your value and the this, because a man can't afford you if he was going to pay in money or in camels or whatever it is that he's going to pay. He can't afford you and what you bring and your value. And it's not, you can't put that to money, right? Mm-hmm. So here we're talking about a woman asking for what she wants. Now, I know I remember that discussion very, very well.
Yes.
I remember...
Yes.
Numbers being thrown out and numbers now being equated to
worth,
worth, but also more realistic, not realistic, but if we were to divorce, if you were to die, this man, right?
Practical.
Practical, that's the word. That's Sumeya's favorite word.
It is.
Practical circumstances. I have this money here that can pay my rent, that security, that if anything were to happen, I wouldn't be a destitute a widow or a divorcee in the situation. Mm. And for me, I can see the wisdom in some women asking for higher amounts, not because they're thinking badly, but things happen.
And because of the circumstances.
And circumstances. Mm. A brother could become incarcerated. He could die. He could become unable to work. There's so many things that could happen in a in a marriage. And if she's saying, look, I want this for this, that's her right. Mm-hmm. That's her right. And a man can't knock her down and start saying, well, it's against the sunnah, or you are now asking for, don't you know, the dowry of Fatima and all of these things thrown at her, shaming her to lower it down.
Yeah, and on that point, I mean, just looking at the Facebook discussion here, a brother came onto my page and he shared a hadith that says that the Prophet said to a man who wants to get married, look for something to give as dowry, even if it is a ring of iron.
And that's for the mandem who are struggling. No, that's right. Yeah, valid point. Yes. South Africa, South London
South.
Comes out. South. Right. That's for the menfolk who are really destitute. You need, he's emphasizing a lot. The Prophet ﷺ is emphasizing the point that regardless of your circumstance, you need to give her something. Mm. And if in amongst your poverty, that's the only thing you can give her, at least give her that. That doesn't set the benchmark of what people should be asking
for. But that's what they're doing. They're saying that they're misconstruing the ahadith, and they're saying that, you know what? A woman should just ask for something little. A token. But again, this level of pressure and kind of guilt tripping that's placed on women, even at the, subhanAllah, they're not even married yet, you know, right at the outset of a marriage, it's why is this being done? It's so important for us to know what our rights are and to think ahead, to think long term, mm-hmm. and to consider what it is that we need as a form of mahar. Should something happen, or simply just because that's what we want.
That's what we want. Mm. I mean, I might want to start a business.
Mm.
And I'm using my mahar to do that. That's perfectly legitimate for me to want. Like foresight, I'm looking forward. You know, mm. I'm forward planning for myself and my family. Mm. You know, this is what I want to do. Like, I don't know why we shame each other for that, especially, you know, the flip side of the shaming is the... Well, I only asked for a Quran because that's closer to that.
That's closer to Quran and Sunnah.
Yeah, you're on a little Sunnah,
but
trip.
That's not shaming. That's I don't even know the
word. Like, you're on your high horse.
That's arrogance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but saying that because I only asked for the Quran, my husband I only asked him for the Quran. He gave me the Quran, maybe handwritten in gold. Yeah, I mean,
oh, we had whatever. A post. We had a comment like that. That was that he had. That he wrote the Quran by hand, and mashallah, may Allah bless this brother.
That's right. Yeah. Every time she reads from
that's
it,
that's what she wanted.
Subhanallah. And that it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful gift, but not to look down on women
who ask for 5k, 10k,
ask for money, and saying that they are less righteous. Just
you don't need
you
to.
It's not competition.
It's not a competition. Yeah. And what you said about does it mean that if someone asks for more, that they're necessarily going to be honored and they're necessarily going to be valued? Mm. You know, even taking fate into the equation, like you said, anything can happen in the future. But also, how many people have extortionate weddings and mahar and everything? You know, they could be treated after that. You know, it will make no difference. There is no guarantee. There's no security guarantee. It is a practical implication. And this also made me think about gold. Mm. Like for people who don't have a preference for gold, like I personally prefer silver to gold, wearing them.
Yeah, same.
And so you think, okay, well, I don't want to ask for gold, but think about gold as a commodity that can be sold in tight times. Mm. So you think about, okay, there's a wisdom in the way things are. It's cultural to give a set of gold or two, but think about what it means. In an emergency, it's holding the value for you. So these, you know...
You see, when I wrote this post, I wrote it, obviously, in line of the work that I do at Solace. And we have revert sisters who, you know, they meet their potential husband, introduced maybe at the masjid through the imam, through a friend and her husband or whatever. And then within a couple of days, shipped off to some basement and... a pound is offered as mahar. you know? And what I wrote in this post is that a man, and this is debatable, a man who has coughed up a sizable mahar is going to think twice before he mistreats a sister, his wife, or pronounces divorce upon her. And the reason why I wrote this is because there is a trend where some brothers within the community are doing this kind of quick nikah with a £1 mahar, 1p mahar, and then are able to divorce these sisters a few days later. Mm-hmm. Whereas, hypothetically speaking, if he were to fork out £2,000, for example,
he's going to think twice,
mm-hmm. right? He's going to think twice. He's going to. So it's, you know, when you think about that, this is a part of the marriage contract. There's a reason for it. There is hikmah. There is wisdom behind it. That's not to say that a brother can fork out, you know, a sizable mahar. He can still mistreat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's important that sisters who are amongst the vulnerable in society really consider this carefully. And on that basis, if you are if you have been married, it's really important, in my opinion, that you don't lower your standards just because this is now another marriage. Mm-hmm. Really, really important.
Do you know one thing that I wanted to ask was, this is, I mean, we're pretty money comfortable.
Alhamdulillah.
And but some women aren't. And so when the conversations around mahar come up in the premarital stage, they get shy, they become uncomfortable, they don't know how to navigate. So what do we say to those sisters to help them open up their mouth and say what they want?
You see, for me, mm-hmm. and we've had we've had this discussion, right? I have a slightly different opinion. I personally...
Different opinion to what?
No, I have no personal opinion in that I personally wouldn't ask for a large amount.
And that's subjective.
But I also think that if a sister, if a woman is marrying a man who has an average income mm-hmm. and is asking beyond that, that doesn't sit comfortable with me. Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's important for her, then maybe, you know, consider asking it for installments. But then even that I think is problematic.
That's dangerous. Because you might not get it.
How many sisters do we know who don't get their mahar? Mm-hmm. Who don't get their mahar? SubhanAllah, even at the time of divorce, they haven't received their mahar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So I do think that it's important for the sisters to look at the circumstances mm-hmm. of their potential husband, you know, and to ask accordingly. But if you are seriously, like, you're fixated upon a certain thing for your mahar, a certain amount, and he is unable to do so financially, then there should be some leeway.
And there should be a discussion about it.
You know, I mean, to make that man suffer, and you're doing... And you're, hold on, let me finish my point. To make that man suffer for the sake of what you're asking for, I don't know.
Just cheering in the background.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should ask for a pound or 50. You know, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if you know that this is going to cause him hardship, and you are happy to see your potential husband go through, like, I'm talking about severe hardship. I'm not talking about sweating. I believe, like, I have a daughter. My future son-in-law needs to sweat for my daughter. Inshallah. Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. She's worth it. She's mashallah. You know? No. So let's make that clear. But what I'm saying is, if you are willing to see him go through severe hardship where it's causing him stress,
Or having to get into debt,
then you know what kind of marriage is that going to be?
Yeah, that's problematic.
So it's a balance. Okay.
It invites consider. Like, you should be willing to consider Like, you should have compassion and consideration for his position. But at the same time, you know, you're saying it like he's stuck or he's coming to the table as well, a willing participant in this. And that's a conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah.
I don't have this right now.
Mm.
Okay, so maybe we need to wait 18 months while you get it. Like, maybe, no, I'm serious.
Because no, I know you are.
It's like, no installments.
No, give yourself, you can wait for me. Give yourself the time. Because I think there's also the, I have seen cases where not just on mahar, but on like general lifestyle expenses, where there's a pressure to, let's just move in and make do, and let's just, and you never got the furniture, and you never got the, we just swept it. So let's pace ourselves and say, okay, you need an extra 18 months to get the place ready. To furnish the apartment, whatever. So let's just, we have to be honest. You're going to live with this person.
Yes.
You're going to be married to this person. You guys are going to have to share your expenses and financial. So the conversation should start out healthy. I don't think it should be bullying. I don't think it should be, you know. Also, people marry into, like, from different social statuses. You marry into a family that already has money and you're trying to, or somebody who it's very easy for them and you're actually quite coming from a simpler background. And so for you, what you're asking for may actually be really easy. Yeah. So that person then asking for a larger number, even though it may not have come to, or it's not normal for her siblings or her family, it's not really going to be a big deal.
And that falls a lot, just even an extension of just thinking about compatibility and financial compatibility is a thing.
Mm.
Because if a woman is used to a certain standard of living, right, this is her way of life and how she's been brought up, a man technically should be able to maintain her at that level, right? Mm-hmm. He should actually think, so am I ready for this? And he needs to be very, very honest. Yes, she has da-da-da-da-da and she comes with this and you love her and blah, blah, blah. Can you maintain her? Mm-hmm. Because at first, love will be all
enough,
right?
But love is never enough.
And if she's used to, and this is not being attached to the dunya, guys. This is not being attached to the dunya. This is just
her standard.
Her standard of living, right? Mm-hmm. If she can relinquish that maybe for a while, but then there might be things that start to set in. Or if she feels like she still has to go back to her family.
Yeah, that can be a real area of contention.
That's going to be an area of contention. So these are considerations. Yes, like thinking of the mahar, but even beyond that, maintaining her standard and what she is used to is something to consider too. Some women are fine to just say, you know what, I'm cool because I'm just fine, and that's fine. But it's these conversations,
I think it's taking the middle path, personally. I think, SubhanAllah, you know, when you think something is precious, you know, when you really want something, you will take the time, even if it takes 18 months, right? And I think it's whatever the woman asks for is her right.
Yeah.
I do think that she needs to take into consideration the man that she's marrying and the circumstances that he's coming with. I think that's important. Yeah. But it's also important, in my opinion, for sisters who are coming from a more vulnerable background to ensure that they don't settle for something whereby they will be taken advantage by that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I see it a lot with reverts because of the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to revert sisters, or to, like you said, to those who are unaware of their rights,
divorcees
as well, to seek knowledge in this area, and to ask for that which whereby the man will think twice about marrying you on a Friday, and because he didn't even have to pay for food for the, you know, there wasn't even a walima, you know, like £1, that he will divorce you in a couple of days. I think this is really, really important. And that's not to say that the mahar is going to prevent that, but it's a step in the right direction. And I think that's really, really important. Final thoughts on this topic, Sumaya?
Ask for whatever you feel is right and don't let anyone shame you or bully you into anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. What more can you say?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that concludes the topic of mahar. Do share your thoughts and opinions with us, inshallah. And we'll see you again at the next episode of Honesty Talk, inshallah.
There's nothing wrong with you talking about your experience. There's nothing wrong with you talking about how you perceive things or what you go through.
What on earth is going on in the lives of individuals?
This thing that we've been going around doing is not normal and it's not healthy within families, society at large, that women have to find their voice and say something, and they feel desperate to do so.
Like, whenever someone stands up a little taller, we feel like, oh, you're trying to step on me.
When you just label, when you just throw a label down, you're not aiming to grow, you're not aiming to understand, you're not aiming to engage, you're actually just aiming to shut that person down.